This month, we're continuing our study in Nehemiah, and I want to read a couple of passages just as a refresher. Now, 2 weeks ago, I didn't preach the message that I was going to preach because the Lord led us to go a different direction in the service. And so this is not the same message, but it has some similar. That's just been what the Lord has been teaching me and stirring in me over the last 2 weeks. So if you got the YouVersion notes from 2 weeks ago, they will be similar, but not exactly the same. But I want to read from Nehemiah 1 and from Nehemiah 2, because what we're going to be studying today is really kind of what happens between when we begin praying for something and when the opportunity comes and we step into it. And so there's a lot of things that happen, and sometimes it's a period of a few days or a few weeks or a few months. Sometimes it's a few years or a few decades. But God is working during that time. And so let's stand. We're going to read Nehemiah 1, verses 1 through 4. It says, "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived captivity, and concerning Jerusalem." Because Nehemiah is one of the exiles that is still in Babylon, but people at this time had already gone back to Jerusalem to the city to rebuild. And so he is asking, when his brothers came, he is asking about the people who were there in Jerusalem, in his homeland, and wondering, how are they doing? What's going on with them? Okay, and verse 3, "They said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." Okay, you can be seated. And then we're going to read in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, because we're going to see that Nehemiah prayed over what he saw happen. And many times God will begin to stir us about a need, about a calling, about something that needs to be done, about something in our lives, in our world, in our families. And then the wise thing to do is to begin to pray. Like the one of the messages that was given, and they both, I felt like there is a bridge, and I do feel like God is calling people to step into what he's called them to do. And there are some people that are standing back from the bridge going, "No, I've tried that before. I don't want to do that." And listen, we're going to talk about sometimes, even when we are praying, what comes up, what rises up in us in the midst of prayer shows us sometimes the things that are in our heart that need to be dealt with. And we're going to talk about that some more. But Nehemiah 2, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now, I had never been sad in his presence before." I told y'all a couple of weeks ago, the title of that sermon was, if you want to experience something you've never experienced, you have to do something you've never done. Okay, we'll go back there in a minute. But he had never been sad before. All the years that he had been cupbearer, he had never been sad in his presence before. "Therefore the king said to me, 'Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart.' So I became dreadfully afraid." Now, as was true in the countries of many ancient kings, it was forbidden to be sad in the presence of the king. Because the idea was that the king was such a wonderful person that nobody should be sad when they were in his presence. And so the merely being in his presence would cause you to forget all of your problems because he was so wonderful. And so this was a huge thing for Nehemiah to show his emotion in front of the king, because that wasn't something that typically he would do. He didn't show even if he was upset, he didn't show it. And obviously in the months prior, all the time that he had been praying after he heard from his countrymen and his brothers what was going on in Jerusalem, all that time he didn't show it. But now came the day and he did. He said, "So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire?' Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king. So he has already been praying. But how many of you know, in the moment when it comes, we are saying that prayer. Like under our, God be with me. God show me what to do. God, what do you want me to say? Okay. He says, then the king said to me, oh, I already got that. Verse 5. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Now he goes on to ask for basically the finances to rebuild the temple and to build himself a house while he's there and to get the timber from the forest over there to be able to rebuild. And so this was a huge request that he was asking. But it says, if you continue reading in chapter 2, which Rick went over some of chapter 2 last week, it says that God granted him favor, and so the king granted all of his requests. All the things that he asked for, the king granted him. But this decision came for Nehemiah after spending time in prayer and fasting. If you put up the first slide. So if you want to experience something you've never experienced, you have to do something you've never done. God is calling some of you to do something you've never done or do something that you haven't been willing to do maybe in a long time. That God is calling you to step over your frustration, over your confusion, over whatever it might be. Today we're going to look at the way we grow between the time of prayer and the answer that comes. So, like I said, what happened between chapter 1 and chapter 2? So he had been praying. He had heard of the experiences of those in Jerusalem and had spent these months praying. So I want to just say, and you guys know this, but it's something that we need to be reminded of, that just because we pray about things doesn't mean that they're going to move quickly. And that can be a source of such frustration. You know, like, God, you told me to pray. You told me to pray in faith. Like, I am praying in faith, and I haven't seen anything move. Like, nothing has happened. And so sometimes, if you put up the next slide, sometimes the process of prayer reveals our lack of faith or patience. Sometimes we don't even realize how little patience we have until we're faced with a situation that reveals when, you know, God, I've been praying about this, and you have not answered it. Or our faith stretches so far. Like, God, my faith stretched over the last week, but we're in week 2. Where are you? You know? I mean, God reveals the need for growth in our faith or character through time spent with him and sometimes through delay. As the delay comes and as it lengthens, sometimes we realize, oh, maybe I am not as patient as I thought I was. Listen, that God has shown me. I did not realize how much impatience the Lord needed to work out of me until certain circumstances. And now, lately, in like the last year, it feels like God is just showing it to me all the time. That's impatience. See, that's impatience right there. The problem is that you're being impatient, you know, and I keep seeing it, and he is working it out of me, and he is showing it to me, so not so that he can rub my nose in it, but so that he can say, Shannon, let's work on this together. When God, as our Father, reveals something to us that needs to change in our character, it is an invitation for him to help us work on it. And if we had see it that way, instead of us, you know, God's just pointing out my flaws again, and I just feel guilty every time I come into church or every time I read my Bible, I see some way that I'm not where I should be. Exactly, because that's how we grow. If I think I've got it all together and perfect all the time, I'm not going to need to grow. And I'm not going to grow, and that's not healthy as a Christian. We need to be growing. So many people in the scripture waited much longer, even than Nehemiah did in this situation, to see promises fulfilled. And this is one of the scriptures that the Lord's been teaching me. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Don't throw away your confidence, which has great reward for you have need of endurance. You know what's another word for that word endurance? If you look it up, patience. Yeah. In some versions, it says patience. For you have need of patience or endurance that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So endurance, if you put up the next slide, Katie, endurance means cheerful or hopeful endurance. That's what patience means. Constancy, enduring, and patience. So listen, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes in the moments when I'm supposed to be patient, I am not cheerful or hopeful. I mean, I am working on my flesh and trying not to get frustrated. And so most of us struggle when we pray if we don't see results relatively quickly. And how many of you have felt very faith-filled the first few times that you prayed? But like as things wane on, then all of a sudden sometimes our faith starts to dwindle. And then we start to question and we start to wonder. When Nehemiah saw what was happening in Israel, he didn't shake his fist at God. He didn't assume the worst about God. He didn't give up on what God was stirring in his heart. He prayed and he waited. And when the time was right, then he took action. There is a right time for things. Now, often it will feel like, if you put up the next slide, it will feel like the right time at the wrong time. And we in our flesh will think, this is it. Like, it's going to happen now, what I've been praying for. And then the door closes or the prayer seems to go unanswered and we realize, wait, okay, maybe it wasn't God's time yet. And in those moments, what we do is crucial because there is a fight going on. For your prayer life, for your faith, for your future, for the influence that you will have, there is a fight going on in those moments. And I have been there many times. I thought, okay, this is it. It's going to happen. And it didn't. And then what we do is crucial there. We can assume all of this, I'm just going to lay it out, all of this comes from my personal experience. We can assume that we must have heard God wrong. Clearly, I didn't hear God on that. We can assume that what we felt God was speaking to us wasn't actually God at all. Like, that was probably just me. I probably just, you know, made that up or thought that it was God. And the truth is, sometimes it wasn't God. Some of the things that I have thought were God weren't God. I mean, the reality is, in the Christian life, you have to be willing to admit failure sometimes. You have to be willing to admit, I thought that that was God, and it wasn't. It was the flesh, or it was me. And listen, we all hate that. None of us want to ever miss it. But that's not the Christian. I mean, we're all still learning. So you have to make peace with the fact that sometimes you're going to get it wrong and not throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. Some people, you know, they step out, and then if they step out and they misstep at all, they're like, I'm never stepping out again. Like, God, that was your one chance, and now I'm never stepping out. You're not going to grow in that way. And in essence, it's pride that causes us to go, I'm not going to miss it ever again. This Christian life is about growth. And sometimes the way that God reveals the flesh is when we miss it. And then we have to go back to God and say, okay, God, obviously I still need to grow. And it requires so much humility. But humility is what makes us more like Jesus. And so we have to be willing sometimes, if we missed it, if we thought that something was going to happen and then it didn't happen in the timing that we thought it was going to, or the way that we thought it was going to, we can either get disillusioned or we can look back up at God. And sometimes, listen, in the moment, sometimes it's just we're confused. We're upset, we're frustrated, and those emotions will come. But what you do after that is what matters, because you can sit there and wallow and you can say, I'm never stepping out again. I'm never going to think I hear God's voice ever again. I tried that, y'all. It doesn't work. Like, you're just miserable. Like, it just makes you miserable and you just wallow, and then you make everybody around you miserable. It doesn't accomplish anything until you get to the point where you go, okay, I'm going to step over that and I'm going to look back at God, who he is, and who he is good, and his word is true, and he is faithful. And you might not ever understand exactly how you missed it that time. But mistakes are not more important than the God we serve. You have to be willing to step over it sometimes. I could give you, I mean, if you want, I'm not going to take a lot of time in the sermon right now, but if you want to hear my stories, I can give you specifics as to how I thought I heard God and then I missed it. And I'm still serving him. Listen, because, you know, I thought that Rick was never going to go to Okinawa. I thought I was going to, you know, have Selah on a certain day. I thought for sure God had told me. You know, I mean, there are multiple things that I have thought that I knew until the time passed and I realized, obviously, I didn't. And we got to keep going in this relationship with God because none of us have it all together yet. We're all still learning. So, some, though, of the biggest struggles in those moments can be deciding whether or not what we heard was actually from God. Because there is this battle sometimes, especially when it takes longer than what we expected. Well, clearly, probably like Pastor Shannon said, I just didn't hear God at all. And listen, the fact that things take longer doesn't mean that you didn't hear God. I heard God years ago tell me, harvest is coming. And I've shared this. Those of you that have been here a while have heard me share this. I heard God say, harvest is coming. And I expected, okay, like a bunch of people are going to get saved. The church is just going to grow like all, you know, like in leaps and bounds all of a sudden. And it didn't happen. And I got at the altar and I prayed and I sought God and I, you know, all of these things. And I remember right there, I said to God, God, did I miss you? Like, did I just not hear you at all? And immediately, I heard the Lord say, do you think maybe that's what Abraham thought? And I was like, well, okay. Just because things don't happen as quickly as we expected doesn't mean that what we heard wasn't God. If you put up the next slide, my mom used to say, yeah, let's all just cry a tear for Nana for a minute. My mom used to say, the will of God will keep coming and keep coming. When God called my parents to go to Bible school, my dad gave God every excuse. He said, God, I barely made it through high school. I don't even know if I could pass an entrance exam to high school. For 2 years, they talked to God about how that could not have been God. And then at 26 years old, with a, you know, married, and they sold their business and moved to Lakeland because the will of God kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. My parents said that when they left Hilliard, when they built the church in Hilliard, God began dealing with them about building a church here. But they just, to start over again, God led us to a church in Fort Meade, and we were there for 3 years. But the will of God kept coming and kept coming to start another church. And so they came here in 1989. And so the will of God will keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And this is when we have to stand in faith. Even if things take longer than we want them to, if we know it's the will of God, we can grow in patience by waiting. Many times God is preparing our character for what's coming. I've seen people who walked away from God because what they wanted was not what God was offering. Because God knew their character wasn't at the place. Because God is so good and he knows us so well that even when we say, God, I am ready for this, God says, no, you're not. You might be ready and certain parts of you might seem ready, but on the inside, in the depth of your character, you're not ready. And if we will wait on God and if we will choose to say, God, I trust you because you are good and you are working all things together for good for those that love you and are called according to your purpose, he will grow our faith in the midst of those trials. Sometimes God is preparing the circumstances or other people in the process. Sometimes we are ready, but maybe the other people aren't ready, or maybe the circumstances aren't ready. God's plans and his ways are so perfect. I look back and I'm like, God, like, it is amazing to me how you worked those details out. Because God is in it for the long haul. Look, he is not like me. Like, listen, y'all that know me, I am working to become a planner, but it does not come naturally. I'm much better to just throw things together and just, okay, we're just going to do this tomorrow and everything's going to work out and it's going to be fine. Like, and I'm, you know, at 48, I have grown a lot in learning to become a planner. Listen, God is in it for the long haul. From the beginning of time, he knew you and he saw your life and he knew what it was going to take to get you where he's taking you. But so many people walk away before they see the promises fulfilled. In the time of waiting, we are often, though, asking for wisdom because we see the need for it. Situations bring up the need for wisdom. God, okay, you're calling me to this, or you're giving me this promise, or you're telling, how do I do this? What is this supposed to look like? And so we find ourselves asking God for wisdom, which is a very wise thing to do. At those times, we need to let God grow our faith. We need to trust that he is leading, even when we don't see things moving as quickly as we hoped, because otherwise we end up like the person in James 1. We're going to look in James 1. Nehemiah was prepared when the time came for him to make his request to the king. He didn't let the situation cause him to be double-minded. Double-minded. In James chapter 1, it talks about a man who is driven and tossed by the wind. James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8, and I have quoted this verse, verse 5, many times because needing God's wisdom is so important to me. I feel like with my family, with my finances, with the church, with my husband, with my own self, I need wisdom all the time. So I have quoted this verse many times because it is a prayer of mine. I do ask God for wisdom, but we need to look at the rest of it so that we understand. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Okay, so let's go back to verse 5. So it says, if any of you lack or don't have enough wisdom. Now, if you look that word up in the Greek that it was originally written in, the word lack, it means to leave behind or forsake. So why would we leave behind wisdom? Well, let's look at the context of that verse. So verses 2 through 4 in this same chapter, James 1, says, my brothers or my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. There have been times when I went through trials that I left wisdom behind. And I was lacking wisdom because I left it behind in the midst of the situation that I was facing. But verse 5 almost seems like a reset. It seems like an opportunity for a reset. If you left wisdom behind, if you lack it, if you don't have enough of it because you have not been seeking God, or if you just don't have enough, ask God. But you do have to ask in faith. This is very important. Begging while frustrated isn't the same as asking in faith. Pleading while assuming that God isn't going to do anything about what you're asking isn't asking in faith. Those are very different things. When we ask in faith, God, the Bible says, if you put up the next slide, Katie, God will give it to us, it says, liberally and without reproach. So the word without reproach, it said in the definition to cast in teeth. I'm like, what is that? That means to throw back at a person what? Something that he has said or done. So God will not do that to us when we ask him for wisdom. It also means to revile. Revile doesn't mean to criticize, and it does mean to criticize in an abusive or angrily insulting manner. So if I am asking God for wisdom, and I'm asking him in faith, he will not criticize me in an angry way. He will not throw it back in my face what I'm asking. So we need to understand that, because some of us, maybe that's how we've been treated in the past, and we project that expectation onto God. So when we ask in faith, he will not do that. It says, because he will give to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him, it says. Okay. The struggle is to stand in faith that he's giving us wisdom even when the circumstances we're praying about don't change immediately. Because then, like, we ask for God for wisdom and then things don't change, or we don't know exactly what's happening, because sometimes the prayer for wisdom, God is working in us wisdom, but we don't see it. So we're like, God, I thought you were going to give me wisdom. And then we start backpedaling from him out of relationship because we don't see things changing like we thought that they would. We have to fight to stand in faith. We have to choose to believe that God's word is true. And we have to get to know his character by learning from the word instead of defining him based on the circumstances. That's very important. I'm going to say that again. We have to choose to get to know his character by learning from the word instead of defining him based on circumstances. Because sometimes in the midst of those circumstances, we go, God, I thought you were going to. I thought that this is who you were. And we defined him based on our circumstances instead of what the Bible says about him. Because then our relationship with him and doing his will becomes more important. Him doing our will becomes more important because it's about us getting our way in the timing that we thought we were going to. Okay, James 1:6-8 continues, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Man, this was so convicting to me. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. That word, no doubting, it means not at all. If you look it up, with not at all doubting. That is hard. Like, that's what it says, that when I ask in faith, I'm to ask not doubting that he is going to give me wisdom. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Again, it's through the delay that we grow in faith and learn to stand instead of doubt. When doubts come, we swat them down like mosquitoes with our shield of faith. We're going to show you this in a minute, but I want to show you, I want you to hear something real quick. Okay. For those of you, I've been telling you about, I should have pulled this up ahead of time, but I wasn't going to. Okay, I'm going to do it now. Okay, we're going to read this verse, but I want you to hear it because BibleJingles.com, if you want to learn scripture and hide it in your heart, me and the kids do these every night. Jude, Eden, Sela, we're learning all these scriptures. So I want you to hear this one because we're about to read this one.
To the obedience of Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5.
And then it'll go, listen, Jude can say that whole verse with the reference. Everybody can do this. It is free, BibleJingles.com, and you learn it through the jingle. And then just, I was trying to remember a reference the other day. I went through the Bible jingle in my head. Yep, there's the reference, okay? So 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Okay, I'm going to show you something in just a minute. So Rick, if you get ready, he's going to help me. Ephesians 6:16, as I have up here, says the shield of faith. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So we need to be holding up our shield of faith all the time, especially when we're asking for wisdom, because let's do the smaller one first. Okay. So when it comes, listen, the lies and attacks come. You're not going to hear God. God isn't hearing your prayers. You're so confused, you're going to miss it. If God was going to answer, he would have answered already. Yeah, okay? So, but that's okay, because I'm going to hide behind my shield of faith. Okay? Now, do you have another one? Okay, oh, one more. Okay, listen, don't come out from your shield of faith. Woo, that went over my, it went over my head. I told him, the goal is not to hit me, okay? I'm just telling you. Okay, but listen, now this, Everybody understands this is a Nerf dart gun, so nobody get freaked out. But listen, if in church somebody was pointing a gun, what are you going to do? Like, you're going to shield yourself. We are in a battle, y'all. Like, it is a battle. You would need to shield yourself all the time, especially when you feel yourself spiraling spiritually. When you feel, man, I thought God would heard me. I thought things were going to go differently. I thought I heard the... Right then, you need to recognize that you need to pick up your shield of faith because the enemy will attack you. There is zero mercy. Like, oh, they've had a rough week. Everybody's sick and they're all exhausted and the finances, and there is no mercy. Do not expect mercy from the enemy. When you're in a battle, when people are struggling, what do? Finish it off. Like, finish the battle. That's how the enemy is. So learn, if you're going to ask in wisdom, you got to hold up your shield of faith. So when you hear, see, you thought you heard God. You're never going to get past this. You thought that God was answering you. You're not going to have wisdom. That's not who you are. You're not that type of person that acts, that changes those things, that walk. You got to hold up your shield of faith and recognize who you are and what God has said about you, because doubt makes us unstable. If you put up the next slide, it causes us to withdraw from God. When we're struggling and need wisdom, we need to fight the urge to walk away from God and draw close to Him instead. Listen, full disclosure, I have been tossed and doubted and overwhelmed and stressed, all while asking God for wisdom. But that's why God's been teaching me, Shannon, it's not supposed to be that way. When you ask me for wisdom, you need to stand in faith that I'm going to give it to you. So you know what? I am going to hear God. I am going to respond led by Him. And you start speaking those things. I'm learning not to throw away my confidence when things don't go as I expected, but to run back to Him. The Lord has taught me, and I'm still learning, that when I am in faith, if you put up the next slide, it should be fully apparent that I trust Him. That's a good acronym for faith. Is it apparent that I trust Him? What does the word trust mean? If you put up the next slide, it means to run to for refuge. That's what it means in the Hebrew. Trust means to run to for refuge, to be confident, to put confidence, to make to hope. So it's not about like, I'm so strong. It is about, I know who to run to. In the moments when I'm struggling, when I recognize that I'm in a battle, the biggest way that the enemy causes us to lose is we just don't even realize that we're in a battle. We just think, this is just me. It is many times a spiritual battle that we're fighting. So I want to end with these comments. What is God stirring in your heart? How is He leading you to pray? Are you willing to do something that you've never done before to experience something you've never experienced? Change is on the other side. And see, this was written before Brother VG gave that word. Change is on the other side, but it requires faith and patience. God will help us grow in both, in faith and patience, if we'll walk with Him through every season. We're going to have a baptism, so they're going to get ready for that. I challenge you, if you haven't been living surrendered, maybe you've allowed offense at God to cause you to close your heart to Him and what He can do. Maybe you've gotten discouraged because things haven't turned out like you thought they would. I've been here. I've experienced these things. I challenge you, though, that today is the day to turn around. Today is the day to turn back toward Him and choose in faith to believe again in His power. Nehemiah didn't get angry at God because of what those in Jerusalem were going through. He didn't also just get comfortable in his position in Babylon and say, well, I'm not going through that. Like, my life is pretty good, so I don't. He was in Babylon. They were in Jerusalem. But his concern was for them, and God began to stir him to see his promises, God's promises fulfilled. He prayed, and then he put feet on his prayers, like my mom used to say. So we pray, and then we take the steps that God is leading us to take. And if you don't have any steps, you keep praying, and you keep waiting. And you keep saying, God, you are good. And I'm asking you for wisdom, and you're giving it to me because you said that you would and because you are faithful. And so we realign by seeking him and realizing his goodness, because he will walk with you through struggles, but he expects faith. And faith comes through relationship with him. I want to end with these verses. This is from Hebrews chapter 3, and it's in the New Living Translation. Hebrews chapter 3, will you change it over to the New Living? Verse 12, it says, and she'll put it up there in a minute. But be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. So there's a fight, and we have to learn to fight. And the circumstances that we go through in life will teach us just that if we'll allow him to. So I just want to challenge you, if you need prayer, if you just play an I worship song, and if you need prayer, we want to pray with you. But I challenge you, align with God. If you're on the other side of the bridge, make today the day that you're going to walk.